Okay, guess I can take the mask off this time. I feel very privileged and I am excited to be able to share with you some thoughts that I have for the message for today. And the message is going to center on this idea of the blessings of trusting God. And that'll be what the whole message is going to center around. So if you want to turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10, that's where we're going to spend the bulk of the time today. And I'm going to start off a little bit, just sharing a little bit about my kind of background and my journey, because it goes along with this text. And to me, Proverbs 3 is one of these chapters that is just, it kind of blows me away when I really think about it. And from the very beginning, I've had a real, this always got to me deep down, this Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And I've tried to commit it to memory over the years. My daughter was talking the other day how she was really loving the scripture and committing it to memory as well. And it's one of those things that when you commit these kind of verses to memory, it has a huge impact on your life. And so just to give you a little bit of background for me, I came up in a very poor environment. In fact, it was so poor, even as a kid, I began to recognize it because I would be outside playing in the yard and have other kids that would come over sometimes when we'd be playing together. My parents would always say, well, you can't let them in the house now. Can't let them in the house. And I'd be like, well, why not? We're just kids playing, right? I said, nope, can't do that. We had no running water in the house, right? We had an outhouse, and I was thinking, well, I assumed everybody was that way. I said, no, other people don't live that way. And so friends would come over, and I couldn't let them in. And sometimes they'd be like, well, why not? And I was like, well, no, you just got to go back to your house and all that, right? And so there's that feeling of, well, I'm different. We just don't have it. And in fact, it was so bad as I started coming along, even in high school. It was just one of those things. I always had this feeling that we were different. But one of the things that always stuck with me, and my cousins and my aunts would always tell me, because one of the things I loved to read when I was coming along, and I would get in my room and I'd read Hardy Boy books, Nancy Drew books, all the books I could get my hands on. In fact, I'd even read the encyclopedia, right? That was just what I wanted to do. I just had to get into reading. Now, my kids today put me to shame compared to the way they read. But it's amazing how it just opened the world up to me to different things. But one of the things that my aunt would always say is, education is your key to get to that next level, to get out of this, right? If you're going to be successful, you got to get education. And so I threw a lot of my energy more into education and got good scholarships to go to colleges, because I wouldn't have been able to go to college without scholarships. Did pretty well in high school, went to a school of science and math, and just had a lot of good accolades, scholarships. So I got to where, okay, I can go to college here now. And I was all about, okay, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to get there and have the job and the money and all this stuff, and I'm going to have it made, right? And then I get to college, and I had this little transition point where up to that point, I'd go to church occasionally, but it was like maybe twice a year. And I knew of God and always had, I knew he was there, but didn't know anything about him. And when I got to college, my whole world got kind of turned a little upside down, whereas before it was like all about how do I make it, how do I get a good job, how do I get money, how do I make sure I can get this bigger house and all this other stuff like everybody else, to, well, no, I need to be considering how do I learn to trust God and let him be first in my life, to let him be the one that will bless me in ways, but everything I do now, instead of it being about me and how do I make it and how do I get a good job and how do I do all this, it transitioned into how do I glorify God with a good job, with my education, with whatever money, how do I glorify him as opposed to it being centered just on me? And that was a huge transition for me, but one of the verses that stood out to me was this Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And I committed this to memory when I was in college. And it's a verse that, again, just it had such an impact. The first verse even, that trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, right? That whole idea of trust, it's almost like the way we use believe today, right? It's a foundational verse in Scripture because it says trust. It's like, what can you stand on? Where's your foundation? Trust. Put your trust, all that you are, in the Lord. And it's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, does that leave room for your heart to be any other place? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All of your heart. Well, what's your heart? Your heart, what drives you, your mind. It's that What makes you get up in the morning? What moves you? What gets you going throughout the day? It's your heart, trusting Him with all your heart, all of your being. And I thought about that. This is what God is trying to say to me. I need to trust Him for all of these things and lean not on my own understanding. Now realize, I've been taught, man, it's all about your knowledge, right? You got to learn. That's how you get ahead. That's how you get all these things. And so I was like, okay, how does this come together? But God is a God of knowledge. He wants us to learn. But He wants us to learn to give Him the glory, that He would receive the benefit from it. So trust in the Lord with all of our heart, with our mind, with our soul, with all that we are, and lean not on our own understanding, not in the way I think. It's not about how I can get there, or how I can figure things out. It's trusting in the Lord to work these things out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your ways. So wait a minute, in everything, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And I was like, but I'm so used to, I was the one who had done all the study and I'd done all the stuff to get the scholarships and I got here. I mean, it's like, wait a minute, where do I fit in all this? And the more I read Scripture, the more I realized God gave me the ability. He gave me the knowledge, the ability to learn more. It still goes back to Him and His glory. So the fact that I was able to learn and do well is because of what He gave me. It all goes back to glorifying Him again. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And I still struggle to do that sometimes, right? I mean, well, I achieved this, but what did I achieve that He didn't already give me? My wife is wonderful at this. She acknowledges God in everything. And sometimes I'm like, oh, do I need to acknowledge Him that way? But then I look at the Scripture and it says, in everything, right? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him receive the glory because He deserves it. He's the one that gave us everything that we have. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. And you know the promise that goes with that? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He, God, will direct our path or make our path straight. I don't have to worry about, okay, well, I got to do this exact thing here in this little second, and if I don't do this right, man, I may not get it right. He says, acknowledge Him. He'll direct our path. We don't need to worry about every next step along the way. We have our journey set toward glorifying God. Sometimes as I was coming along, I'd be worried about what decision should I make here? And we'll kind of worry, and I think you guys have been there, right? Well, man, what do I do for this next decision? And sometimes you got two good decisions, two good options there. Do I go here or do I go there? Oh, I got a job, right? Oh, I could take this job or I could take that job. And sometimes it's pretty obvious, right? I need to go here because I can clearly glorify God more here. But there are some times where it's not so clear. If we're acknowledging God in that, He will direct our path. We don't need to worry about it. Sometimes we fret over these decisions, whereas if we're determined to glorify God, He's going to direct our steps. We don't need to be so worried about every little detail. He's freed us from that. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our steps. We got to believe it. We got to know that He is there and He is real. That's what God wants to do for us. But part of this acknowledging God and Him directing our steps is that we can't be wise in our own eyes. Right? Do not be wise in your own eyes, in your own estimation. Make yourself more than you are. It would have been easier for me, right? I'd gotten the scholarships. I'd gotten a good job. As I'd gotten out of an ESA. Oh, I did all this and I can figure all this out. But if I really looked at my life, I realized God works so many wonderful things. He opened so many doors for me. I didn't need to be wise in my own eyes. I needed to fear the Lord and respect Him. That's what these scriptures tell us. Fear the Lord, respect Him. No, He is the one who is in control and is directing so much in our lives that we might give Him the glory. That's what He wants to do. He wants to bless us richly, but we need to shun evil. Stay away from the darkness that is out there. There are so many things that can pull us into the darkness. Even growing up, I knew that if I wanted to succeed, I needed to avoid getting drunk and getting into a lot of that stuff that was just going to keep me from achieving my goal. But as the further I went along, the more I realized that was really the goal God had for me. It wasn't just a goal I was doing just so I could get some more money or just so I could get a better job. It was about, how do I honor God in this? It gave me even more reason to stay away from sexual immorality and stay away from all these things that would be tempting for me that I could rationalize in my own mind. God was trying to show me and show all of us, Lord, that He has something so much better for us. If we would just focus on Him, shun evil, trust in Him, acknowledge Him, give Him the glory. That's really what He wants for us. That's what He's always wanted for us. In fact, as we do these things, God's going to bless us. And in the very next verse, He says, honor the Lord from your wealth. You might say, well, wait a minute. How'd he get there? He just got through, you know, don't be wise and trusting in Him. If we're doing those things, the Lord's going to bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. And as He's blessing us, we have to make sure that we're honoring Him with our wealth. Because you know what the temptation is? We get wealth and all of a sudden we think we made it. We got it. Just like growing up, I was saying, man, I got to get that car. I got to get this job. I got to get that money. And sometimes we get it and we think, okay, I got it now. I don't need you anymore, Lord. And we may not say that, but that kind of the way we may act. Oh, I'm so busy, Lord. I ain't got time for you now. I got to stay on the job. I got to stay on this. We get all these things that we get focused on and we miss. He's the provider of all these things. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, all of your first fruits. That's what God wants for us. Because if we do that, notice in verse 10, He says, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine, right? He's going to make sure you have what you need and more so. God supplies everything that we need. But we got to trust Him. To me, these verses just speak volumes to me. And they've spoken volumes to me throughout my life of this journey of learning to trust Him more and more. And you know, the more that I trust Him, the more He blesses me. There's a great verse that I was looking at that I flash here on the screen that says, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, from those who love Him, from those who trust Him. He doesn't hold any good thing back. Now, some good things He holds back because they really aren't good things. We think they are, but they aren't. But He gives us what is really good in our lives and what we really need. That's what God wants to do for us if we'll trust Him and really turn our lives over to Him. I love that verse in Psalm 84:11. To me, it's just a powerful one that no good thing does He withhold. I'm going to share a story, and some of you have heard this one, about this little girl. And it's just a little analogy here that I thought, and it just seems appropriate here. So it's this cheerful little girl with bouncy golden hair, and she was almost 5, and she was waiting with her mother at the checkout stand, and she sees this little box of pearls. And she is just like, oh, I gotta have it, I gotta have it. Come on, Mom, gotta give it to me, gotta give it to me. And Mom, you know, okay. No, you gotta give it to me. Some of you parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? They're pulling on you. Come on, you gotta get it, you gotta get it. That's why. She reaches over and grabs the box and looks at the bottom of it. Okay, $1.95 here. And she says, Mom, you gonna get it, right? You gonna get it? It's like, well, I'll tell you what, your birthday is coming up this week. Your grandmother usually gives you some money, and just if you do enough chores, you can save and get it. But Mom, I want it now. Just hold off. You'll be able to get it. Again, your birthday's this week. I'm sure it'll work out. As soon as she gets home, the little girl runs up and grabs her piggy bank and empties out all the change she has. She finds this 17 cents. Ooh, she's got to get to $1.95. Oh, Mom, how far do I get? What do I got to do, right? Well, help with dishes, help clean up around the house here, help do this. And so she gets a nickel here, a dime there. Every day that week, she's asking, what can I do to get those pearls? What do I have to do to get those pearls? Right? What else can I do? She even goes to her neighbor and says, can I pick dandelions for you and for a dime? Right? She's doing everything she can because her mind is fixed on these pearls. That weekend comes and her birthday's there. And sure enough, her grandmother gives her a crisp dollar bill for her birthday. Oh, she was about ready to jump through the roof. She's got enough. She knows she's got enough now to go get those pearls. Immediately, they're going to the store. She buys these $1.95 pearls and just gets them around her neck. And she is so excited. I mean, she is just like beaming for everybody to see. And everybody's coming, oh, those are beautiful pearls. They're great. She gets to church. She goes to school. She's out playing. Everywhere she goes, she's wearing these pearls. She's going to bed at night. She's still got the pearls on. Man, she loved these pearls. They are her pride and joy. She worked so hard to get them. She is just so excited about these things. And as the week goes on, her father comes in. And like good fathers think, she reads her story at night. And he's putting her to bed. And he says, do you love me? She says, oh, Daddy, you know I love you. Oh, yes, this is so great. And she's fingering her pearls. He's like, give me your pearls. She kind of looks at him like, oh, no, Daddy, I can't give you that. But I'll tell you what, I've got this other beautiful little horsey here. You can have that. He's, oh, no, that's okay. I'd love you to and kiss her on the cheek. It's fine. The next night comes in, similar kind of thing. And he says, do you love me? And she says, oh, yes, Daddy, I love you. Give me your pearls. She looks at him again. She's like, well, Daddy, there's this other, remember this thing you got me for my birthday this past week? You can have that. He's like, no, that's okay. He kisses her on the cheek, puts her to bed again at night. Kind of goes on through, and she's, this time, later in the week, he comes in, and she's sitting on her bed, and she's got a tear running down her eyes. He's like, oh, what's wrong? What's going on? And she holds out her hand, and he puts his hand there to hold it. She's kind of trembling, and she drops the pearls in his hand without him even asking this time. Just drops the pearls in his hand. And he here is just almost overcome himself with tears. And he reaches into his pocket. He puts the pearls in. And he pulls out this velvet case. And in this velvet case are genuine pearls with diamonds on them that he gives and puts around her neck. He had them the entire time that he wanted to give them to her. But he wanted her to let go, to trust him. You see, it wasn't about, oh, give up these dime store pearls so I can give you these thousands of dollar pearls. It was about trust. And God's a lot that way with us. He wants us to trust him. Not so we can get a whole bunch of riches, but so that we can have what really matters in this life. In that relationship, you'll realize that was a pretty powerful relationship that he was after. He really wanted that relationship with his daughter, just like God wants that relationship with us. But we're so focused on holding on to this thing that we worked so hard for and we don't want to let go of. God wants to give us so much more. God wants to give us so much more. And it's been that way from the beginning. It's amazing when I think about all that God has done and where he wants to take us. If you go back even, you know, how did we get here? How do we get to where we don't want to let go of these things? I go back even to Genesis, and there's a beautiful scene that I think of with Genesis 1 with the Adam and Eve in the garden. What did they have there when they were in the garden? Everything, right? They were made in the image of God, and they had everything. All the food they needed. They were walking in the garden with God. They were at peace with their Father. They had everything that they needed. Except one thing kept getting their attention, right? We know the story here. From any tree you can eat, but not from the tree of good and evil. From the very beginning, that little temptation that was there. But I liken that temptation in the scriptures here where it says the serpent came and said, ultimately, you can be like God. And you won't surely die. Little lies along the way. But you can be like God. Who doesn't want to be like God? You can decide what's right and wrong. You can decide good and evil. That temptation from the very beginning, even though God wanted to bless us so richly, it's amazing how the result of them choosing to take hold of their life, to say, I'm going to own this, I'm going to know good and evil. Notice the key words in these verses. In Genesis 3, verse 16 through 19, he says, in pain, in toil, because you're trying to make your own way, you're going to have a lot of pain and toil throughout your life. Because you're always trying to do it on your own, and you weren't designed, you weren't made to be that way. Even up to this day, we continually fight with the same thing till we turn to the ground. We're just so focused on what I can do, what I can achieve. And we think we can do it on our own. That's a challenge that God tries to address with us. And he says in Micah and throughout the Old Testament, the whole story of the Old Testament kind of runs through this. But it's interesting how he says, my people, what have I done to you? Given you everything that you ever wanted, right? And yet you keep turning away from me. How have I wearied you? Indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I ransomed you from the house of slavery. Isn't that what God is continually doing? He's rescuing us from the very slavery we put our very selves in. He's trying to rescue us. He's trying to help us be so much more than where we are. And yet we keep wanting to do it our way, my way. God says, you weren't designed for that. It goes on in Hebrews, and he gives this other passage, which I think, again, speaks volumes. He says, since the children are in flesh and blood, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he also partook of the same thing. He became flesh and blood like us, that we might know that he understands us. He continues that through, he did this, that through death, he might render powerless him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. He wants to free us. I want to take a moment here to kind of reflect on this as we reflect on the Lord's Supper as well. To realize that's the reason Christ died for us, that he might free us from slavery, free us from ourselves. When we become Christians, when we become immersed in him, we are made new. New to no longer have to follow what I want and be about myself and all about God and how we can glorify and honor him and to be blessed in that. If you want to take the emblems that are there that represent his body and his blood, we do this every Lord's Day to remember Christ, to remember him who died to free us from slavery. So if you want to start to peel back the first layer here, we'll have the emblem for the bread, and then the next emblem for the fruit of the vine. And I'll say a prayer here for us now to just reflect on the Lord and to know that he wants to free us from slavery. And I pray that our lives would be a reflection of that each and every day. Let's go to him in prayer. Holy Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for the way that you have just blessed us here. We know, Lord, that you want us to remember you. You want us to constantly have our minds centered around you, to acknowledge you in everything, because you died for us that we might have life, that we would be freed from the bondage in this life that holds us back. Help us, Lord, to always give you the glory and to know that we only have freedom and all the blessings that you would give us when we acknowledge you and trust you and give it all up to you. Strengthen us now, Lord. Continually remind us of just how much you love us. And just thank you for this special remembrance that we have. In the name of your holy Son, Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Take a moment. Pray that we'll always keep the Lord in the center of our focus, in the center of everything that we do. He gives us life, and He wants us to ever honor Him. I have a handful more slides. I'll try to fly through them quickly because I know time is getting on. But I pray that our journey of trusting Him will always take center focus in our lives. It's funny because the blessings of trusting God require us to know that it's not in man to direct our steps. Right? We are not the ones who should be trying to figure out all the little details along the journey. Here in Jeremiah 10:23, I know, Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor to send a man to direct his own steps. God has promises for us, and it can't be attained by trying to do it ourselves. It requires a great deal of reflection. One of the favorite verses that's often quoted is Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says, "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Ask where the good way is. And walk in it." Walk in it. That's what He wants for us. And you will find rest for your souls. And yet throughout history, we continually say, we will not walk in it. That's been a message that we say so often. And so God sends us messages. He sends His servants over and over again, His prophets over the years, trying to get us to listen to what His words are about, that we need to have Him be the center of our lives. And we keep trying to make other things the center of our lives. Many of us know about the money side of things, right? Ecclesiastes, "There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, riches being hoarded to the owner's hurt." We're so busy trying to gain riches that we hurt ourselves. Another passage in Ecclesiastes as well. "Whoever loves," that's what's in red there, "loves money, never has enough." Wealth, whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. One of the richest guys that ever lived, when they asked him, "How much money do you need? How much more do you need? You got billions of dollars." And he'd be saying, "Just a little bit more." We always want that little bit more when our eyes are on money. 1 Timothy 6:10, right? "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil." If that's where our love is, we've missed what God is really after. Because God wants us to be blessed. I mean, there are so many scriptures that talk about the blessings of the Lord bring wealth. Proverbs 10:22. And He adds no trouble or pain to it. When our eyes are on the Lord, He will bless us. But when our eyes are on the money, we're just going to spiral really down and out of control. And you may say, "Well, really, I mean, it's just spiritual things, right?" Well, it's spiritual things, but even Jesus in Mark 10. And it's interesting that He talks about anyone who's left mother, brother, houses, all of these things for my sake, shall not inherit as many times more. And it's interesting, even now in this present age, God wants to bless us. And again, I don't want to get into a prosperity gospel because I think you lose a message when you focus on the riches. But when you focus on God, He takes care of what you need. He takes care of what you need. And He'll even bring some persecutions along with it as we focus on Him to help remind us it's about Him, not about us. It's about Him. It's about honoring Him, trusting Him. He wants to bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. But we've got to learn to trust Him. It's interesting that that choice is about being faithful with what God has given us. He who is faithful in a little thing is faithful also in much. Luke 16:10-11. If we're faithful to God, He will be faithful to us, and He will bless us spiritually and physically beyond our wildest imaginations, but not the way that we expect. He'll surprise us. He surprises me every day. And in this journey, as I've come along through college and I would get the good job and be thinking of all these things, I'd be tempted to trust in those riches that I would get and then just take them away. Some of you remember the dot-com bust of 2000. It's like I had this nice 401k that was growing. I was like, oh, this is getting good. And I was like, right off that, like 80%, 90% of it, boom, gone. I would have been tempted. Oh, man, I needed to trust. That was what I was trusting in, right? Gone. Where's your trust now? Where's your hope now? God always wants our hope to be in Him, not in the riches. They will always be transient. Everything ultimately in this life are transient. They're like those pearls that little girl had. We hold so tightly to it. God wants to give us that which is true. The end of this verse where it talks about in Luke 16, he says God really wants to entrust the true riches. Literally it says that which is true. That's what God wants for us. That relationship with Him. We know God has plans for us. It's out in our foyer. We have it. We quote this verse all the time as well, Jeremiah. It's a powerful passage. Jeremiah 20, actually it's a couple of powerful passages here. 29, I know the plans I have for you. And do you know what they were going through at that time? Slavery, Babylon. They were being taken away and wondering what was next. Even in the midst of your toughest times, the hardest times you go through, God is still there saying, I've got great plans for you. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe it. Those are the times we need to trust Him all the more. That's the foundation in life. Trust Him with all your heart, and God will transform your life. Trust in the Lord. So many promises. No eye has seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for them that love the Lord. Think about it. We can't even imagine all that God has in store for us if we will trust Him, even during the darkest times, even during the times you don't think He's there, even during the times you think He's not giving you what you want. God has great plans for us if we will trust Him. But we've got to put it into His hands. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power. It's a wonderful song, right? That. His divine power has given us everything, everything for life and godliness. His promises. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And He can do abundantly more than we ask or imagine if we'll trust Him. We need to submit our lives to Him. That's the challenge that's been there from the beginning. Submitting our lives to the Lord. As I close this message, my encouragement to you is this. Trust in the Lord with every decision that is before you. Trust Him, even when it doesn't always make sense to us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's where it begins. Ultimately, that's where it'll end for us, in heaven with Him. Trusting Him with all of our heart to obey Him, to submit our lives to Him. If you have any need, any struggle, you can let me know. You can let Larry, Steve, many other in the body here know. If you're ready to be immersed in Him, to make that decision to trust Him with all your heart and submit your life to Him in baptism, we have water ready. We can do that today. We can do it anytime. But you got to trust Him with all your heart. As you go through this week, trust Him. Commit your lives to Him. And He will bless you beyond your wildest imaginations. The message is yours.